support this ridiculous show. Talk and Bell Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by North Rim Adventure Sports, offering bicycle sales and rentals, cycling apparel and equipment, and a bicycle service shop. North Rim Adventure Sports features Trek Bicycles, USA, and other brands at 178 East 2nd Street in downtown Chico. You can also find them online at northrimadventure.com. Like I said, it's going to be kind of a poop fest around here. We're trying to do something we've never done before, which is have a guest on for the entirety of the show, entirely remote. So,
groundbreaking radio in 2021.
That's right. That's how we're doing it these days. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the show.
So what are we talking about?
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
That's right, baby. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. The world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to myself. I am Jarrell. We got the one, the only, my partner in crime, co-founder of the show, joining us remotely, Derek Isumaki.
Yo, it's good, party people.
There we go. All right, it worked. Hey, that's a positive
still
thing.
Got it.
And of course, that is the voice of our producer extraordinaire, Statman Brad.
Yeah.
And we got friend of the show hanging out with us tonight as well. We got our man Rudy, Rude Dog, in the building. What's goody?
What is up, people?
All right. So, like I mentioned, this show's going to be a bit of a mess, and I'm looking forward to it. We always like to sink into the mud around here. We don't run from it. We just lean
embrace
all the way
it.
Into
embrace
it.
Embrace it.
Exactly. And so, with that said, we have bad dating advice on the way. Of course, we're going to break down the NFL playoffs. Who we think is the who we think is going to make it to the Super Bowl? If you're out there betting, you're going to want to listen to the show because we're going to give you some advice to take to the bank. Also, Derek will catch you up on the going ons around the world and what's going on in the soccer world with Foot and Mouth. But first, Steph Curry dropped a career high 62, baby! That was awesome.
You excited?
I was really excited. So, I was on the station a week ago, voicing my concerns about the Golden State Warriors and their slow start. And look, they're not going to be a great team this year, but it's an experience that I haven't had as a Warriors fan in some years. Last year was kind of a, I don't want to say a waste of a year, because we got James Wiseman in the draft, but just not a very fun team to watch last year. But now we have some pieces, and it's at least fun to watch these guys grow and learn to play together. And when Steph is cooking, there's very few things in all of sports that I find more entertaining and exciting. And Steph's never had a game like he had last night. 62 points. The man was just on fire, and the thing that was really fun watching him is his three was not going down, especially in that first quarter. He couldn't buy a bucket from deep, and so as a crafty veteran in the game, he did what vets do. He went to other parts of his game. He started rebounding, he started getting to the line, he started getting to the rim, getting layups, and getting a lot of his points at the hoop. And Steph Curry is underrated finishing around the rim. He's one of the better finishers around the rim for someone who's not a dunker in the league right now. And so that game happens last night. I got to watch the whole thing. I was locked in. I was texting my boy back home. Are you watching this right now? This is incredible. And he said, no, I'm watching old D12 music videos for some reason. We don't need to really get into his reasoning behind that. And I said, you need to flip over and watch this game. And sure enough, I told him, Steph Curry's going to go for 50. He didn't. He went for 62. And so far this season, I would say this is at least been the most exciting thing we've seen on the court. There's some storylines off the court, but Steph Curry said it reminded him of that Jordan meme, and I took that personally because a lot of people, at least on the timeline, were throwing shade at Steph. You hear that response, Derek, and your thought is what when he says, and I took that personally?
I mean, he's got a soft-ass shoe, I'm sorry. And that brand he's created with Under Armour, I know you're trying, my dude, but I just feel like I don't see it going off that well. So I feel the shade's coming at him in a lot of ways, more ways than basketball. Does he deserve the basketball shade? No. Hell no. Gosh no. The man is proving himself time and time again to be the premier shooter this league has ever witnessed.
Yes.
All of them be damned to hell right now. Steph Curry is the shooter the world has, we all want to see. He's the best out there, hands down. Anyone tries to say otherwise, I don't know what you're smoking right now, but give me some of it because I'd like to be on it. But I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that he's the whole brand. I kind of, to a certain degree, I respect it, but then you're doing it with Under Armour, and then you see Under Armour just going down right now. And it's like, man, I feel like you're kind of Jack Sparrow tying your sails to the wrong ship right now, my dude. But you know, hey, go down with it. Go down with it proudly. Rock those sneakers. I won't. granted, I'm not the market audience ever for those. So, Steph Curry, you some respect as a basketball player. In the shoe game, not quite there.
No, the shoes are, they're not great.
They're not great. They're awful. They're better than the ones he came out with, those ones that he had beforehand. Those are trash.
The Curry
2s,
like, yeah.
Like wannabes or whatever, trash.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. But I will say, Steph's the type of superstar that he's relatable to a lot. He's not big. He doesn't get credit for being as athletic as he is. But when you watch Steph, explosive is not one of the first things that comes to your mind. Athletic is not one of the first things that come to your mind, even though he is both of those, but it doesn't jump off the screen. And so I think his game for a lot of people is relatable. And beyond that, his personality, he's charismatic. Obviously, the family unit seems to be very tight, and he's easily marketable. So even though the shoes are poopy poop, butt soup, he still has been able to move some shoes because of how bright his star burns. But I could not agree with you more. Those shoes are trash, and this is why Under Armour is making a big push to separate the Curry brand from their brand, because Under Armour is going down left and right. I mean, how many schools now has Under Armour had a buyout of their contract, and now these schools are going to Nike, to Jordan, to Adidas, because Under Armour simply couldn't fulfill their obligation. And not to mention, Under Armour, I think what Under Armour did, and it's a common mistake that a lot of businesses do, that you get on a little hot streak and then you begin to grow too fast. And they started spreading their wings quicker than they are able to support. And fortunately, they do have Tom Brady and Steph Curry on their brand. Unfortunately, their other athlete was your former dude, Cam Newton, and not the best year for him. But I don't want to get too sidetracked on the Under Armour part of this. I do want to talk about Steph because a lot of people were saying, if you look at the finals and what he's done in the finals, which I also think is a little harsh because he gets played differently in the finals. They let a lot more grabbing and pushing and pulling on his jersey go in the finals and so in the playoffs in general. But he hasn't been terrible in the finals. He just hasn't been – he hasn't had that breakout game that we expect. He hasn't – obviously, he's never had a 60-point game before last night. But Steph Curry is still – a bit underrated, believe it or not, in my opinion. And you think about this year, he's had a slow, he hasn't been great from deep until last night when he shot 50%, but he was really struggling from deep. And it's as if everyone just forgot Homie only played 5 games last year, and we basically had 2 NBA seasons. So the NBA season dragged into this October, and then there was another break, and now we're starting. So he hasn't played a game, a regular season game, in over a year. And so now that he's back on the court, you're starting to see glimpses, and not to mention he's playing with a bunch of new teammates. Draymond Green needed to come into this season in shape and healthy, and he did neither one of those.
I mean, the one thing you could possibly say about Steph is he has never carried a team by himself.
That's like, correct.
He's never had to shoulder the load fully and taking them to the promised land as a Jordan has, as a Kobe has, as a Shaq, whatever, all those names that have. He's never quite done that himself. He's had a lot of help along the way. Good help. I shouldn't say a lot of help. He's had solid help along the way. So that's one thing you could probably knock him for. And I think this is kind of his year to try to say, hopefully this is his year to say, hey, yo, I can take this team on my back. We might have a bunch of scrubs, but you know what? I'm going to TLC this right now and make something out of it.
That's a great point. And I like the no scrubs reference. Steph Curry hasn't ever put the team on his back, though. For moments, for games, for quarters, absolutely. But then that's also with a healthy Klay Thompson, that's been with a healthy Draymond Green, that's been with one of the best scorers in the history of the NBA, at least I would say top 5, and arguably the best, and Kevin Durant. And he doesn't have that help this year. He's got an out-of-shape, kind of fat Draymond Green. He's got his second best player on the team right now is a rookie, is a teenager, and he's still trying to figure it out. And they said something interesting on the telecast last night, and I want to know if you guys knew this. Did you know Steph Curry's the oldest player on the team right now?
He's, what, 33, right?
Is he 33?
33? He is not 33. He's not even 30. He's barely 30, if anything.
No, I want to say he's 33.
He's been in the league 12 seasons.
Okay, maybe he is 33.
He's 32 and 296 days.
Okay,
so almost 33.
About to be 33.
Wow. Yeah, March 14th.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you said that, I didn't know
I didn't believe it.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, dude's old.
Yeah, I did not think that. And if you'll notice, Steph's game has gotten way better after he got rid of the braids. I saw... I liked the braids on him, but I saw his some stats compared, and they were pretty awful when he had braids. So I hope he took a lesson from that. And we don't see the braids, at least on the court, for the rest of the season.
Or his career. That'd be nice.
I mean, it's not going to be that much longer of a career, so he can bring the braids. The braids will be back soon. I'm just saying. He's 33. I mean, he doesn't have that much longer on him. He's got ankle problems galore, so that's never an issue. You know, it's never a good sign.
Yeah, that's fair. But I will say, I think at the very least, the Warriors are going to be a fun watch this year. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, they're going to be interesting. And I think they're going to be right around a 500 team. Right now, they're currently sitting in the 8th seed. They are playing the team they're tied with for that 8th seed tonight in the Kings. And so that should be fun. But for me, as a Warriors fan, this is the most fun I've had watching them in a while, even though it's been really ugly some nights. On Friday, that was rough against Portland. It was a blowout from beginning to end. However, I do think... and we're just seeing more blowouts this season, period. I think, you know, part of it, you don't have the fans. And I think for the teams that you have a lot of energy, you have your bench is really involved, they're creating some of their own energy. But I just don't think you're going to have those runs you normally see in the NBA, because I think there is something, you're not getting the juice from the crowd. And I think there is something to be said about that when you're down 15 and then you go on an 8-point run. Having that juice in the building, having that energy, I do think gives teams a bit of a lift. And now if you're down, you know, 15, 18, and with the way teams are shooting the ball and shooting the three ball specifically, I think a lot of teams are just like, yeah, not tonight, mm-hmm. you know. But the amount of blowouts this season has been ugly. And hot take alert, and maybe not a hot take because I think I've said this on the airwaves, and I love it when it's going down, but I do not love how so many teams are taking so many threes. And here's the thing that really blew me away. So I did some research. And I looked back at the, I want to say it was the 95, 96, 97 seasons. For whatever reason, just took a random sample and looked at the career or the league average from three. It was 36%. I looked at the league average from three from the last three seasons. You guys want to take a guess what it was?
43?
No, I'm going to guess closer to 30.
36%.
Really?
It's the exact same.
Huh.
So people, it really? Seems like people are getting better at shooting the three ball. We're just chucking it a lot more, and you're getting a lot more
sample size in it. That's why.
Yeah, you're getting a lot more, and you're getting a lot more possessions per game. Mm-hmm. So taking a three isn't the risk it once was. It's actually more beneficial, and I personally don't really love it. Now, it was fun. There was a moment last night where Steph came down, he hit a long three. Damian Lillard came down, hit a long three. Steph came down, missed a long three. Damian Lillard came down, hit a long three. That was fun. But for the most part, I like seeing athletes drive to the hoop, take some contact, finish at the rim. I miss those days. Okay, I'm going to sound old, and I really don't want to go down this road right now. So let's just move on. I do want to get into some football here in a moment, but you were talking about the Miami Heat's new jerseys when
yes.
I walked in here. And so this isn't a visual medium, so this isn't going to help anyone but us in the booth right now.
That's all I really cared about. I mean, I care about our fans, but at the same time, you guys can also look these up. The new Heat colorways jersey, and basically it is a very, very bright pink to blue, like light blue look to it.
Yeah, it fades from pink to blue. Look, man, whatever. It's for the kids. I don't care. John, shout out to our man, John Lucan. He just texted me and said, you are old. And so for fear of sounding even older, I'm going to go ahead and say they're fine.
Now, are these as bad as the, because I know you didn't like these, but the Mavericks, the graffiti Mavericks.
No, I don't like those.
No, that's what I'm saying. Are these as bad as that to you?
They're all right. I like the Miami Vice jersey look. I like the colors.
Ladies.
Yeah, and those are fine. I mean, there's a lot uglier jerseys in the league right now. Yeah. I think Nike is trying to cash in and make 400 alternative jerseys for every team right now.
And honestly, everyone's going to buy them. That's the thing. It's like everyone loves those type of jerseys just to wear around.
And again, they're not
in
for me.
The volume world, you have to realize, like every single season, each team changes their jersey up completely, like every single team does. So, I mean, you just got to do what you got to do to make money. And people are stupid enough to buy them left and right because I need to have the newest jersey. Like those people that make those videos of them pulling off the jersey of that one player from all over the place. All I see when I see that video is sucker.
Yeah.
Sucker. Right. My goodness. How many Carmelo Anthony jerseys do you need? I get it. You're a fan of the dude. Stop purchasing them, my man. You're not. He doesn't get the money. I'm just saying. Stop it. It's not cool. Like, why?
And it's funny. Like, as a Barca fan, I'm looking at their jerseys every year as they get a new kit. I'm like, that's the same exact kit, which is a different like color tint to the red or that burgundy. It's like
it's
just barely a different stitch. I'm like, oh, this is your new kit. I'm expecting something completely different, something out of the ordinary. They'll bring back an older one, and it's like just with a newer vibe to it. I'm like, really? I mean, it's cool. Like, I'm glad you're bringing back.
It's a money grab. Look,
it is.
Yeah. And again, go ahead.
Get your money.
What would you say, Derek? I'm sorry, I was talking over you.
Got to get your money, man. I respect the money grab, but the people that constantly give it to them, stop. Like, stop it. Like, they don't stop.
Like I said, it's for the kids. You know my rule about jerseys. I don't wear the jersey of anyone younger than me because I find it odd. I did have someone write in to me directly on Instagram, and they were struggling with something that I can understand, and they were basically saying, the guy was in his early 30s and was saying that he now notices that most of the players that he roots for or he enjoys watching are now younger than him in the league, and he began to feel some resentment towards it. I don't feel the same way. What I would say to you, my friend, is just try to enjoy the game. You know, if I looked at everyone who's more successful and younger than me, like, I would just be yelling about influencers on Instagram all day long who do nothing and are fairly talentless. But I'm not going to do that for fear of sounding too old all the time. And look, man, there's just going to be people that make money doing dumb stuff or are way more talented. He was saying basically in the thing he wrote me that he looks at some of these younger players and he just wonders what he's doing with his life. Look, man, you're not as talented as them. And guess what? 99.99999% of this world is not as talented as them.
By the way, the younger medium is now TikTok, not Instagram. So you're making yourself real old.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I'm just letting you know. I'm trying to get you like into the market. You
gosh
know?
Darn MySpaces.
Up to speed with that.
Yeah, up to speed of what where you're actually making
your
money.
I get it. TikTok is popular. I'm not on TikTok. I don't.
You should be.
I know it's fun, I suppose, but I'm already distracted enough, and I get enough information. I get enough memes sent to me. As it is,
well, these
I'm
are
only one
than
man.
Memes.
I'm only one man, so oh man,
missing out.
I guess. Are you? You're not on TikTok, are you, Derek?
God no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh
man.
Brad, you?
I mean.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
I have some people to blame for that one, but yeah.
Yeah, yourself. Nobody else. Okay.
I just kept getting sent TikToks, and I was like, you know what? I'll add it.
That's fair. All right. Let's move on because we did play some football yesterday, and I was going between. Yesterday was a big sports day for me. I was watching some soccer. I started watching football, and then was flipping back and forth between NBA games. And man, let me just say, I will never take sports for granted again after we had to go several months without them, and the only sports we had was The Last Dance. That was the only thing we had on TV.
Great 10 weeks right there, by the way.
Yeah, so I am just binging as much as I can whenever sports are on. Whenever, even games that I'm not even super into. God, I was watching some Premier League game like a week or so ago. I didn't even know who one of the teams was, and I was just like, well, it's on, and I'm not taking sports for granted. However, yesterday, it was the regular season finale in the NFL. We had some teams blow their chances to make the playoffs. Some teams that were on the rise, you thought, like the Miami Dolphins, completely pooped the bed yesterday. Oh my God! Two weeks in a row.
Disgusting.
They gave up 56 points. Who did they play yesterday? I can't even remember.
The Bills.
The Bills. That's right. And the Bills were starting Colt McCoy. Okay, Colt McCoy was getting buckets, okay? Just throwing bombs all over the field. And if you remember, the week before that, who did they play last week? Was it the
Chiefs? Oh, Miami's? I'll look it
up.
Yeah,
will you look it up?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they set their starters in week 16, and Miami got blown out then, too. So it's just... Who did they play?
They played the Raiders.
Oh, they won that game.
They won that game.
My bad. That's the Fitzmagic game.
Yeah. That's
a Fitzmagic game. So they had an opportunity going into week 17. Oh, it was Matt Barkley, not Colt McCoy. Thank you. Matt Barkley. Even worse. Matt Barkley was getting buckets yesterday on the Dolphins, who had a great secondary all season long. They still don't know what they have in their potential franchise quarterback, their rookie quarterback in Tua. He did not look great yesterday. But let's talk about the teams that did make it in. And thank God, I'm sorry, thank God the Cardinals didn't make it, because I really do believe Cliff Kingsbury is the worst coach in the NFL, especially now that Adam Gase is gone and Anthony Lynn is gone. I think he is hands down the worst coach remaining in football.
Him and John Gruden right behind him.
I can't even give it Gruden that hard of a time because he didn't inherit just a ton of talent. But, I mean...
That's just my personal opinion.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't... Gruden, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
I mean, he hasn't really done anything to build him up either. And he's been there for, what, 4 years now? Three or four years?
I think this is his fourth year.
This is his fourth year. Regardless, it's like he hasn't really done anything. He hasn't brought anything to the team to build him up. I mean, they're still barely missing playoffs every year. So, and getting rid of Khalil Mack, I don't see that as a benefit to them. They didn't get anything for it.
No, not
they didn't get
all.
Anything in their picks. They didn't get anything in the trade. I mean,
especially with Antonio Brown having his issues.
Exactly. But, yeah. So, I mean, I would blame Gruden on that. Like, he hasn't proven himself worthy of the contract that he was given.
10 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
He's there to sell tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a correction, because I did think I thought I saw Josh Allen yesterday. He did start, and then Barkley came in because that game was a total blowout. And I was kind of wondering what they were doing. Like, do you want to lose to Miami so you could play them in this first week? So give me the matchups. This year, for the first time, we have three, count them, uno, dos, tres, wild card games on wild card weekend. Can you give me the matchups real quick? And who are the byes? We got Green Bay got a bye, and Kansas City got a bye
Kansas City got a bye, yes.
All right, give me the matchups for this week.
So wild card weekend, we're going to have two NFC games the first weekend. The AFC game Saturday is Colts versus the Bills, number 7 Colts versus number 2 Bills.
Okay.
Then the Seahawks are going to be hosting the Rams, little NFC West matchup there. Okay. And then you have the Bucks and the football team.
Ugh. No thanks.
Yeah, and by the way, the football team at 7-9 is hosting, if anybody forgot.
Yeah, Washington won that division after the Eagles basically tanked last night. Shouts to John, who won some money on that, but my God, was that ugly. And
yeah.
Listen, Alex Smith, comeback player of the year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's not good. He can barely run out there. I mean, which is the fact that he's even playing after doctors say he might lose his leg or he might die. Pretty impressive. So of the remaining, you hear the matchups. Who do you have, Derek, going to the Super Bowl for both the AFC and NFC?
Yo, shocker here. Bills coming out of the AFC. Ooh. Shocking the Kansas City Chiefs right now. The Chiefs aren't ready for this Bill action right now. Buffalo stampeding over some Chief action. I see it happening. I just see Josh Allen. That cannon of an arm. He makes Patrick Mahomes look like he can barely throw darts. Okay? I'm just saying, Josh Allen has got a cannon. Patrick Mahomes has a water cannon. That's what it is compared to. You know, I don't know what it is. Josh Allen's got something special behind it. I don't know. This Bills team, they're fun. They actually have a defense, I feel. That's a problem that Kansas City doesn't quite have. Coming out of the AFC, I'm sorry, NFC, you know, man, I got to go with Rodgers, man. That guy, I feel for once, this could be his year. This could be his time to shine. I'm rooting for the dude. I really am. Those cheeseheads over in Green Bay, I feel they need a little more loving. And get a title this year would be not that bad for them.
Woo!
You know, especially with Rodgers right now, this could be his time. He's looking fantastic. Devonta Adams looks amazing. And they have a running game that's not too shabby. So, you know.
And Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but Aaron Rodgers really kind of does need another Super Bowl to cement his legacy. He's only won one.
Yeah, one's not enough.
And he's lost to the Niners how many times in the playoffs? Three or four now?
I think three or four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three times.
And it's never been really close either, if I can
remember. All been blowouts.
So he really does kind of need another Super Bowl victory to cement his legacy. Rudy, who do you got? Go ahead.
This is time, too, because the NFC is weak. The NFC is trash for the most part. Like, New Orleans was supposed to be good, but we don't even know what they are anymore. They can barely, I mean, they're not, they have that potential still, no doubt. They're going to be the toughest team, I feel, for them to face. But still, the NFC is just kind of, it's tough. It's not as good as it was in the past, so Aaron Rodgers, start slinging it.
Yeah. Well, and you look at the Seahawks, them and the Rams have both been struggling late into the season. I mean, the only thing that's good for the Seahawks right now is their defense. The only thing that's the only benefit to them even possibly making it to the Super Bowl. And then you look at the Bucks and the Washington football team. I mean, I'm not even that scared about Tom Brady anymore. I mean, he's showing his age, but he's still competitive, but he's not the Tom Brady of old that we know, especially what he used to be on the Patriots.
Okay, who you got then?
Packers. I actually agree, Bills. Okay. I actually think it is going to be the Bills and the Packers.
Okay, Rudy?
I got the Saints.
Oh, okay.
Drew Brees retiring with that ring.
Oh, okay.
But I do got the Bills and the AFC.
Yeah.
And the Bills are a great bet, too, at plus 330 to win the conference and then plus 650 to win it all.
Wow, okay.
So just keep that in mind.
I jumped early on the Packers on that bet for them to win it all.
So. All right, I do think the Bills are great, and I do. If you're betting out there, I believe last time I looked, it was 250 to 1 for the Bills-Bucks Super Bowl. And I think the Bucks are sneaky, man. I just think Tom Brady, he just knows how to get to Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's
and
so true.
They are inconsistent, but as of late, that offense has been on a tear. Now, granted, one of those teams they absolutely destroyed was Detroit, and that never really means anything to anybody because, you know, it's Detroit.
Them and the Falcons, so.
And the Falcons. But the Falcons can be frisky. They can be frisky. They played the Chiefs tough. But I think I would go, man, everyone went Bills, so I'm going to go Bucks Chiefs.
Okay.
Just to
okay.
switch it up. But I do think the Bills look great, and the Bucks, or the Bills have a much better defense than Kansas City does. So we'll see. We will see.
All right.
We might circle back to some football a little later on in the show, but this is cool. We get six total wild card games this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to that. That should be fun. What is
stat
it?
Stat of the day. You want to do stat of the day real
Go
quick?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Let's knock it out.
So, stat of the day, it is more likely, as of right now, for Tom Brady to make the Super Bowl than for Steph Curry to hit a three-pointer in his career. Steph Curry, right now, is a 43.4% three-point shooter.
It's ridiculous.
In his 20 years, soon to be 21, Tom Brady has made 9 Super Bowls. That is a 45% chance of him making the Super Bowl. Now, if he doesn't make it this year, it'll drop to a 42.8%, so just a tad under that 43 mark. But as of right now, if you were questioning Tom Brady's greatness and his playoff career, there it is, right there, 45% to make the Super Bowl.
That's a great stat. That is a great stat. And
that's
also
that's
totally crazy. Insane. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
You told me that over this weekend. I was like, wait, what? Oh, man. You are tuned in to the world's greatest sports talk radio show, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, Talking About Practice. I'm Jarrell. Got my man Rude Dog, Rudy, Statman Brad, and remotely got Derek on the phone with us. Appreciate y'all rocking with us this evening. And all the nonsense it is we do around here. Show's starting off a little smoother than I expected. So I did the opposite of overpromising and under-delivering on the first half. So let's try to make the back half a mess, shall we? I want to shout out one of our underwriters, and then we will get to Derek Isamaki with the news. But before we do that, Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Pullen Cyclery. Providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation, Pullens has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico and can be reached at 342-1055. Thank you to North Rim Adventure Sports. Thank you to Pullens Cyclery, longtime supporters of this nonsense, and we really, really appreciate you guys. It's been awesome, so thank you for the support. I did want to say before we get to the news, there's been a little confusion on where to message for questions for the show and what questions are going where because I do two different shows. And here's the deal, guys. Either one of our Instagrams, you could do my personal, the J-Ro show, the J-R-O show. You can message me your bad dating advice or just questions you want answered on air. You can be specific if it's not bad dating advice and you want it answered on flip side, just let me know. But if you want to ensure it's going to be answered on Talking About Practice, then message TBP, not a game, on Instagram. I'd give you our Gmail handle, but I can't remember if it's Talking About Practice show or it's just going to get confusing. I'm just going to send you to like 8 different places and forget to check one. So that's the easiest. TBP, not a game, or the J-Ro show on Instagram. Send us your bad dating advice questions. Send us just your life advice questions or just your, hey, I have a thought. I want you guys to discuss it on air questions. And we're happy to do that. So thank you to everyone who sent stuff in. We got more bad dating advice on the way today. But before we get to those, Derek Isamaki with the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That's right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, obviously, when so much to get to, there's so many stories I've been holding off on you guys, and I feel really bad because I haven't been in there to really give you the full experience. Now, I'm not going to give you all of them that I have right now because there's just too many of them. But I'm going to give you and highlight the ones that I feel to be just the most important, the ones that are the creme de la creme of pure stupidity. So, you know what? The creme de la creme of pure stupidity, we're going to start at the very top, our very own Congress. That's who we're going right now. The people that we have elected to run this country.
Oh,
that's
man.
The creme de la creme of pure stupidity right here. And it gets no better than your stupidity than what happens when they concluded their opening prayer. Now, Representative Emanuel Cleaver of the Democratic Party decided that when concluding his prayer, he wanted to be as inclusive as possible. So when he said amen, he also added an A woman as well, because that's what you're supposed to do. Because, you know, we can't just have amen being the ones that get the focal point. Now, for those of you wondering, amen has absolutely nothing to do with gender whatsoever.
Right.
Latin term that's used to be so be it, as it should be, something to that nature. A way of concluding a prayer to say amen. Nothing to do with man or women, but the pure stupidity that is our Congress thinks otherwise. So, yeah, that's the people we have running our country right now. Those are the people. Like, we might think that the president is like someone we have to... No. The ones that really have the power are the people in Congress. They're the ones, the legislative branch. They're the ones that pass the laws. And these are the people that are running our country. These are a man and a woman. How stupid are you? My goodness. It is baffling to me of where we've come to in a nation right now, where we think this is how we're supposed to respond to the lack of inclusivity that's happening out there between men and women. That's the way they level the balances, by making up words and adding meaning to words that don't have them. Oh my goodness. This man, Emanuel Cleaver, I'm sorry, you're dead to me right now. You should be gone, completely and utterly castrated from society for being that ignorant. All right.
I like how you had to gather yourself. I feel it though, man.
I don't understand. It's so off. They're off their rocker right now. All of them are. They're so gone. Left, right, middle, whatever. They're all gone. They're off the rocker. It's scary to me right now where we're going. And but you're not a little scared too. You should be. Amen to that, and a woman to that too. Okay, well, back to the A woman situation, because we're going to keep this pushing, because I can't end on that sheer stupidity. I need something a little bit more, not as scary stupid. That was scary stupid. This is not as scary stupid. This is just stupid stupid. And I feel bad for this man, because, once again, getting sticking to by a woman for doing absolutely nothing wrong. A woman in Mississippi had herself a situation where she thought her husband was cheating on her. And what'd she do? Well, they say nothing as bad as a woman scorned. Hell hath no fury as a woman scorned. Well, that man felt it when he was stabbed multiple times by his lady. Oh. Because she thought, when I say thought, she dreamt it. She had a dream of
no.
Cheated on her. And what'd she do? Stabbed him. My goodness, that's all you have to do these days. Mess up in their mind and you're dead to them. That's all you gotta do, guys. No physical action has to be done on your behalf if you're a woman that hates your gut.
Poor guy.
Yeah, if she had written into us for bad dating advice, we probably could have helped prevent her stabbing her guy there. But
yeah, I mean, if you have to see it, ask the question, hey, I had a dream that my husband is sleeping around.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know what? Go to sleep with better thoughts, because you're having some crappy dreams right now, lady.
Agreed.
Okay, well, just careful out there, guys. When you're going to sleep, make sure you go to sleep as nice as possible. It's on you. It is 100% on this man. He should have been doing everything possible to make sure that woman has pleasant dreams, and he clearly wasn't doing it. So I take it back. This man deserves to get stabbed, because you have this woman get bad dreams. The men out there, take it on yourselves. Your woman better have some good ass dreams out there. Otherwise, you're getting your ass stabbed.
I bet you just didn't say sweet dreams. You just said nothing.
Something as simple as that.
Yeah.
His fault, 100%. He should have known.
Just sweet dreams. That's all you need to do. Simple.
Well, to try to do the impossible right now, to read in a woman's mind. That's the news, guys.
All right. Thank you, sir. Speaking of thanking you, I have a pretty good real quick.
Pretty good. It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
The Mandalorian. On your suggestion, Derek, I started watching it. And I'm not a super Star Wars nerd. Matter of fact, I forget. I know the storyline, but I'm not, like, invested into it. So I kind of forget the timeline and all that. Mandalorian's awesome. It's an easy watch. It's not very long. You could jump in, jump out. And I've really enjoyed it. So The Mandalorian. Pretty. Oh, wait. Hold on. Sorry. My bad. My bad.
Pretty good.
Yes, it is. It is.
Pretty. 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 Pretty good.
Jeez. I was wondering when that was going to end.
That was awesome.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
Like you were saying, like you don't even need to know about Star Wars to really get into that.
Yeah, you really don't. If you're into sci-fi, if you liked any of the Star Wars at all, I think you'll really enjoy it. It's family friendly, but it's still got enough violence and action. And Derek told me he really enjoyed it. So, and I will say, Derek's got pretty good taste. We find a lot of shows I've recommended a lot to him, and vice versa, and usually pretty good. So, if you're out there, I know I'm probably like the last person to jump on this train because I know how popular the show is, so I know I'm not saying anything new for most of you folks, but
for those doubters.
Yeah. And it's something, if you got a family out there, it is something you could watch with your kids because it's not extra violent. There's violence, but there's no blood or anything. So, you know, there you go. There you have it, folks. The Mandalorian, pretty good. Moving on, I think. Are we good to move on? Everyone's good? We're happy to move on? Let's move on. I do want to ask you, Rudy. So you said the Bills would be a good bet. You like the value you get with the Bills. Anything else for betting NFL playoffs that you think is a good futures play or a good play this weekend coming up?
Let's see. I like the Rams for some random reason.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to be the upset of the weekend would be the Rams.
No kidding.
So you have no rhyme or reason, just the Rams, and that's about it?
Well, just because I don't care who's playing at quarterback. Jared Goff sucks.
Yeah.
The backup was, I forgot his name.
Irrelevant.
Yes. So I think their defense is the truth. Yes, they do have hiccups left and right.
You think the Rams defense over the Seahawks is the truth?
I will take the Rams defense over the Seahawks, yes.
Even though the Seahawks the past six games have only been allowing 12 points per game.
I don't care about
that. Yeah. Okay, all right, just want to make sure you knew the stats.
Oh, yeah, it's Ramsey and Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is an animal, and he is out there to get some. So,
and Jamal Adams has a busted up shoulder and went out of the game yesterday, so defense is a little more vulnerable than normal, and the Seahawks gave up 20 yesterday. So,
well, I'm just saying over the past six games that was the average.
Oh, average. My
yeah
bad.
Yeah, no. I know what they did, but I'm just saying 12 was the average over the past six games. So
okay,
them and Tennessee over Baltimore.
Yes. Tennessee is a home dog, right?
Yep, home dog at plus 3.5.
And you remember what happened last year. Last year's game, Tennessee versus Baltimore.
In Baltimore.
That wasn't pretty.
No, it wasn't.
I was in Scottsdale watching that one. My buddy
lost a lot of money on that game.
Oh, I bet.
Everyone did.
I mean, no one expected Derrick Henry to go off like he did.
So, I mean, Tennessee's they're playing great. Derrick Henry is not human. That guy is
10,000 yards this year. Yeah.
He's crazy. Every game he's stiff-arming at least one player.
Yeah. No, not just stiff-arming, somebody.
Launching him 5-10 yards.
Yeah.
So that's an awesome value. And in the NFL, you always take the home dogs.
Yep.
Every time.
I like that. I like both of those picks. We're going to get into foot and mouth here in 1 second. I just wanted to update everyone without getting too much into it. Maybe we'll have time at the back end of the show, but I want to allow some time here for bad dating advice. College football playoffs happened this past weekend, and the shocker wasn't that Ohio State won. It's that they whooped up on Clemson.
Gave it to him.
Justin Fields looked amazing. I honestly, there's two or three different times, because I was flipping between that and the Warriors-Blazers game, and I'd flip over, and I would just, right as I turned back to ESPN, Justin Fields is just throwing another bomb for another touchdown. I was like, are you kidding me? This isn't even close, man. Unbelievable. John Lucan would like us to know that he said, always take home dogs. So you're taking Washington football team plus 8.5. Always take home dogs within reason. You know what we mean.
Yeah, come on.
Dude. You know what we mean, John. Come on, bro.
Well, I mean, the last time a team that was under 500, I think they won the game, didn't they?
Was it that Seattle team? Was that the last time that there was a team?
The last time there was a team under 500.
At the same time, you never know. It is the playoffs.
Exactly. Anything can happen. It's always one game. I mean, I wouldn't say that Tom Brady's going to lose to the Washington football team, but
they could lose by 7 or 8 points.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have waited long enough. It is the long-awaited return of Foot in Mouth.
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out of a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Oh, my goodness, y'all. The Foot in Mouth. Woo! Footballing world galore. Everyone be exulting right now. What a great season we are having. If you are just a casual fan of the game, this is a fantastic time for you to jump on. You're looking at something that doesn't ever happen. This is not normal right now, what's happening in the Premier League. We have complete and utter parity. It is fantastic. It is beautiful. Top down. 1 through 10. Separated by 7 points. 7 points separate 10 teams. It's ridiculous. I cannot believe where we're at right now. Anyone right now within those 10 points, you get the right number, you win those points, you get all 3 points, you're shooting up the table quickly and very fast. You're shooting up, jumping up points left and right. So you got to win. You got to get all those points if possible. You cannot drop any. It is dangerous out there. Liverpool's facing that danger. They face it today when they drop all 3 points to Southampton, losing 1-0.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't scored in over 200 minutes. Terrible loss for Liverpool right now. Mm-hmm. Man U, on the other hand, they're rising up. They're coming on quick up Liverpool very quickly. Now, it is, like I said, 10 teams are within 7 points. It is ridiculous. 10 teams. West Ham, Chelsea, Aston Villa, Everton, Southampton, Man City, Tottenham, Leicester, Man U, and Liverpool. That is your top 10 right now,
unbelievable,
guys. And they have got so much in hand. Each one of these games is so imperative. What they're playing for is fantastic, and you can see it out there. Now, I know I'm getting excited. There's so much going on.
And you should be.
Teams are dropping left and right. The teams that should be winning aren't. The teams that you weren't expecting anything from are doing fantastic. I'm looking at Hugh Aston Villa. If you aren't on the Aston Villa train right now, hop aboard. This team looks fantastic. They're fun to watch. Jack Grealish, I hope he sticks around, but the money is going to be alluring so much with this transfer season opening up. January is going to be an interesting time right now with that transfer window opening. Teams are making that push because they know they need those teams. They need those points as much as possible. And if they aren't getting them, my goodness, you're going to be falling out of that top 10 very quickly. And that's where all the money is at. So, like I said, the Man Cities, the Man U's, those big teams, they're still in the mix right now. They haven't really lost out. Liverpool definitely losing out today when they lost to Southampton. But like I said, there's the teams right now, it's fun to watch. And the parity that is happening, the amount of people that are in the race to be coming into the top five, those really important top five places, where you get European Cup football the next season, that's where all the money is at. That's where they want to be. If you're all looking for something right now to do during your time between football in the morning, I'm telling you, Premier League action is happening right there for you guys. That's the Premier League. The Premier League is spectacular. Champions League coming back next month. That's going to be a great time as well. La Liga is still going strong, too. I got to give a shout-out to Atletico Madrid and what they've been doing. They're about halfway through the season right now. Not quite halfway through, but Atletico Madrid is putting themselves in a pretty good spot. Real Madrid's in second place right now, and Barcelona sitting in sixth. So those teams are kind of where they should be. They're not as crazy. It is not as crazy, not as packed as the Premier League. The Premier League is something else. That's your board, y'all. That's where you want to be. Foot and mouth.
And I just want to piggyback on something you said there, Derek, when you're talking about how close it is in the Premier League. Aston Villa is currently in eighth place. They're only 7 points behind first place Liverpool, and they have a plus 13 goal differential compared to that first place team in Liverpool that has only plus 16. So the top of the table is incredibly close there. So,
and I do also want to point out to you, like you're saying, Drew, this Aston Villa team also has two games in hand to Liverpool. So that means that Aston Villa is sitting with 26 points. If they win those two games right there, they're a point behind Liverpool in the standings, right, as it would stand. Like I said, so they have two games in hand, Aston Villa does, and that's coming in key right there. Man City as well, they're two games in hand. Those points are vital. Each one of these games, each point, you cannot drop them. You cannot. And it's spectacular to see those teams fighting left and right to make the clock, make sure they get all 3 points.
Yeah, if you're not into soccer, this is definitely a good year to jump in. And like Derek mentioned, honestly, for all you football fans out there, we're losing American football here in about a month. It'll be totally over after the Super Bowl, obviously. And Premier League soccer and soccer in general, good good substitute. Gives you something to look forward to. All right, let's move on here. Unfortunately, because Derek is remote and we don't know really how the technology is going to work if we get Aaron on the phone, we feel like something, we're absolutely going to drop one of them and it's just going to be chaos. So Aaron will be back next week. Derek will be back in studio next week, and you'll have the normal show as you have come to expect. But no Aaron this week, so we just have our brother Derek on. So you're not going to get a woman's perspective on this bad dating advice this time around, but fear not, you will have it next week. So bad dating advice. Let's go with the first question we got here. Again, this is coming from, I'm not going to say their name. I asked my partner to change a couple things about his behavior, like how he parties a lot, but he hasn't really stopped any of them. I know he really loves me. He proves it all the time. But why can't he change? Or why won't he change, I should say? I think some context would be helpful with this one. How old are y'all? If he's 24, right, then the reason he won't change is because he's doing what you should be doing at 24, and that's partying. Now, it's COVID, so that is a little concerning to me. Where is he partying? Where are you riding in from? Are you in Florida? Like, okay, but if you're in California, yeah, that's a little concerning. But I think, yeah, context is definitely needed to give you some true advice here, I think. And really, like, I would really like you to write in next week, because what is the partying leading to? What are the issues that are associated with the partying? Is he getting in trouble? Is he flirting with other women? Is he, what exactly is the problem? Because if he just likes to party and he liked partying, I'm assuming this isn't something new, right? Like, that's what I would guess. And so if you started dating someone, you probably met this guy while you guys were at a party. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it seems a little unfair if he has been a partier and you expect him to all of a sudden not want to party. I don't think it has anything to do with him not loving you or anything like that. But dudes like to party, you know? What else can I say? Derek, you got something on that?
Obviously, like you said, the context is necessary right now. What point in time is, where in your life are you guys right now? How much of a strain is it causing? I mean, for someone like you, if you're someone who's like not into the party scene, and that guy is, you probably got to find somebody else, lady. I'm just saying.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Stop trying to change the guy. Change yourself.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's necessarily really fair to be able to come in and ask for a change after if he was this guy going into it. And again, context really matters. If y'all have been together for 6 years and you're 30, yeah, maybe, you know, tone it down a little bit. But if you guys have been together for 6 months and he's 24, 25 years old, my man's doing what most 24 and 25 year olds do, and is probably behaving the exact same way he was behaving when you guys met. So you can't really blame him for that. All right, moving on. This comes from Kells. She said we could say her. I want to do that one off air. I don't want to do that on air. All right, so we'll do another no name. All right. So recently, I came into a bit of money. I won $11,000 playing blackjack.
Had a kid.
Shouts to you, sir. Which, of course, is really great. However, the situation is, I've been married for 5 years, and for the past 3 years, my wife controls all the finances, to the point where she's put a bunch of money aside for us to buy a new home, and has college funds for both our children, which is fine, and it's I know it's the responsible thing to do. However, I make too much money to feel like I'm living off a couple $100 a week. I basically live check to check, because and I'm on an allowance. What do I do about this $11,000? She already knows, and she wants to put it all aside for the college fund and really give her kids a jump start. And I'm fine with giving part of the money, but I'd also like to go spend some of that money irresponsibly. How do I bring this up to my wife, and what do I do to regain some control? Well, let's go back a second here, my friend. Why did you lose control of your finances in the first place is the question we need to answer. Again, context, guys. What
was it, because of the gambling? what are we talking about, my man?
All right, because to win an 11 G's at a table when you're living off a few $100 per week, in my mind, that doesn't add up unless you're on a heater of all heaters. And you never leave the table when you're on a heater, okay?
Never leave the table on a heater. Respect the 11 grand you got if you're on a heater that way. That's impressive.
No doubt.
And I will say, that's something, you know what? When you're living in that situation, you have family and the kids. I think that's something I don't have to deal with right now, so I can't speak from actual experience. But one thing I can say, if you have kids and whatnot, they're your responsibility. Everything that happens to them is your responsibility.
Yep.
You and your wife right there. Your life is technically kind of over because it's now our lives, your lives. Your whole lives as a whole right now. Everything that you do, everything you come across is going to have some impact on them, and they should have some fruits of those results. So yeah, put some of that $11,000 away. But, you know, for sure, I think you and your wife should definitely treat yourself to something. You know, like, take a grand or two or something and go out on a nice weekend or something.
Yeah, you know, some years ago, I was fortunate enough to be in a position to help my little sister out while she was in college. And I gave her some money and I told her, spend some of this, spend half of it on something you wouldn't otherwise get for yourself. So maybe pitch it like that. However, trying to regain control of your finances, that ship has sailed, my friend.
That's not going to come
back. You can't give her total control and then now, 3 years later, go to her like, hey, I kind of want control of my finances back. I think that's over, my friend. The cat's out of the bag. The ship has sailed. And the best thing you can do is try to negotiate a higher allowance. It sounds like you do okay. And saving for a house is cool. You know, I think that's awesome. Giving your kids a jump start at life by putting money away for their college is smart. So your wife is being pragmatic. But I also understand your point. You shouldn't be living like you feel like you're living check to check, living with a few $100 in your pocket each week if you're doing okay for yourself. However, again, I really want to know why that control is given up in the first place. Because, again, if you won 11 G's at a blackjack table, I'm guessing you weren't betting. You didn't start with $20. You know what I mean?
That's not your first rodeo, my man.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think the best thing you can do is try to find some compromise and say, hey, what if we put X amount away and we took – take a small amount. Take a reasonable amount. Take 10%. We take $1,000 and we do a weekend getaway. Something like that. Or I buy a TV or whatever. I do something for me with that money that I won gambling our money, our gambling our kids' future away.
Well, I will say it's always easier to pitch it if she's somehow involved and
yes.
can enjoy it in some way too. It's easier to pitch it that way. You can find something to that nature. That would be my advice to you.
Yeah, I just, again, I just feel like there's more to this story because people just don't give up control of their personal finances unless there is a reason, in my opinion. This didn't just happen overnight, and she wasn't just like, hey, your money is my money now.
Maybe she's Jewish and he's not, and he's like, you know what you're doing. I give you control. I'm out.
Yeah, for all we know, she's a
banker, an investment manager, something
exactly.
of that nature. She's fantastic with the money, in which case she knows what she's doing. Trust her.
Yeah. No, and as far as like really trying to work something out to keep any more than 10% of that,
good luck.
That's not going to happen, and you're not going to have a conversation where she's going to come back around and be like, oh, yeah, you know how I said you were irresponsible with money and that's why I took over? Let me give up that control. Because here's one thing people don't do. readily. Just look at what's happening with our president. People don't give up power. And if you give it to someone, it's theirs, okay? It's gone. Don't get to go ask for it back. You should have negotiated this down at the beginning and said, hey, okay, here's 50% of my income. That's going to go in a joint account, but I'm going to have my own money over here. And I'm going to do whatever I want, as long as we're staying afloat. But it's too late. That ship has sailed, my man. That ship has sailed. It is over. And it looks like, hey, ever since she took over, you guys have saved up for a home and you've saved up for your kids' college fund. So
seems like it's going okay.
Yeah, it looks like you're doing okay. So there you have it. Bad dating advice. Yes, sir.
Real quick, John corrected me on something. The last time somebody made the playoffs that had a losing record were the 2014 Carolina Panthers, and actually the last two teams that had a losing record, the Seahawks and the Panthers, both 7-win teams, got to win their first round.
They got to host a playoff game.
They got to host a playoff game, and they won. And so, I don't know about stats here, but that sounds like a good bet.
Washington
to at least take that +8.5. Yeah. I'm just saying.
If the Bucks lose to Washington, oh my God.
That'd be
does that hurt Tom Brady's legacy? I've got to ask.